For our scripture reading, we turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto Thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for Thou renderest to every man according to his work. Read just that far in the inspired scriptures. We turn now to the organization of the teachings of God's Word as we find them in the Heidelberg Catechism. Specifically, Lord's Day 50 this morning, we consider Lord's Day 50. The question is, which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. We continue, beloved, to consider our calling to pray, using Jesus' example prayer for our instruction as our Lord Himself intended it be used. We've seen that we should begin with God. Our prayers ought to begin with God, speaking of the hallowing, the glorifying of His name, setting Him apart in our minds, speaking of His kingdom, praying that His kingdom may come, praying with regard to His will, that we may not think our wills are supreme, but God's will, and praying that God's will then be done. That's the main focus in our prayer, and that good pattern Jesus sets out for us in the Lord's Prayer. Really, though, always in every petition, we must be God-centered. Must begin with God in our prayer so that we can learn to be God-centered throughout our prayer. We don't begin with God and then turn away from God and speak only of ourselves as separated from God and separated from God's goals and purposes for us in our life. After the first three petitions regarding God's glory, we turn and offer up the petitions that Jesus has taught us to pray as God's children, as those in covenant relationship with Him. We say, Father in heaven, we desire that Thou art glorified in the ways that we have spoken in those petitions we have just offered. We desire that Thou art glorified, but we have needs too. And now we bring those needs to Thee. But our needs are not separated from Thy purpose. We pray that in the meeting of our needs, Thou wilt also glorify Thyself, even in that. And so we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Pray for forgiveness and for deliverance from sin and the power of sin. By means of prayer, Christ sets out for us also an entire worldview. By means of this prayer, as we said in the first petitions, we pray with regard to God. But then with these next three petitions, prayer for our daily bread, the prayer for forgiveness, and the prayer for deliverance from the power of sin, we have really, in three brief phrases, an entire worldview, world and life view, Christ sets out. He speaks of our relationship to the creation. Vital to have a clear understanding of that if we're going to have a correct view of our life in the midst of this world, in the midst of this creation. He speaks of our relationship to the creation with this petition that we consider this morning. Give us this day our daily bread. He speaks of our relationship to God directly and speaks of the center of that relationship when He teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts, as we then also forgive our debtors. And He speaks of our relationship to our enemies when He prays or teaches us to pray as well, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The creation, our God, and our enemies. Those are three vital areas, three main areas of our life. First of all, though, we notice Christ sets out a relationship to this creation. Begins with daily bread. It teaches us that a correct understanding of our relationship to this creation is fundamental, vital, if we're going to understand our life in the midst of this world. And sadly, often, here is where many Christians go wrong. How do we view this world, the things of this world, the creation around us? But also, Jesus begins with this petition for our daily bread because He begins with He gives us these petitions having to do with our own experience in this world. And the first need that we experience is the need with regard to this earth. Our natural need is that of food. We need daily bread. We feel that need very poignantly. So Jesus, our Savior, teaches us, turn to God, turn to your Father with that need, and pray to Him, our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Consider this Lord's Day then under the theme, our request for daily bread. First of all, petition of dependence. Secondly, trustingly raised. And thirdly, asked with wisdom. First, in this petition, we confess a dependence upon the created world. We confess that in that we ask for bread. We come to the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth, and we ask Him for bread. Bread, obviously, a part of this world, something in this creation, something that God has made. So when we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we're saying, Lord, we are dependent upon this world that's around us. We need the things of this world. We admit then that we are creatures. It's a humbling confession. And it's good for us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, because immediately we say, Lord, we are not the Creator. We are not the one like Thee who art independent of this world and can live above all need. Thou hast no need. Thou art independent from this creation, but we are here below. We are creatures. We're made by Thee, and we stand in relationship to the other things that Thou hast made, a relationship of dependence upon those things. We need the things of this world. That's good for us to remember. In the time of abundance that we live in, the time of affluence, when most of us have never really felt a real hunger pain, maybe we say we're hungry, feel the need for some food, maybe we've even grown a little faint at times needing some food, but we haven't felt the hunger pains that so many in this world feel today or have felt over the history of this world. It can cause us to forget how much we need daily bread, how much we need the things of this world. And then too, the sophisticated culture in which we live, where many of us perhaps rarely are outdoors. We're inside of buildings, homes, offices. We have technology constantly before us. The creations or the works of men's hands, it's easy for us to forget to take those steps backwards from those inventions of men and those buildings, those creations of men, and to realize they're all part of this world, part of this creation. We stand in need of this world. The Catechism speaks of all things necessary for the body. Reminds us that we need these earthly things, but also reminds us that our prayer for daily bread is not only for bread. And bread in the Bible means food, not simply the thing made from flour, but all manner of food. But the Catechism says, really, this word bread stands in for all the things that we need for our body, for an earthly life. That's the way the Creator has designed our life here below, that we should be dependent upon this world. That's the way He wills it. It's been presented in the church, in history. Sometimes we find it even yet today. The idea that the things of this world are somehow below us. The earthly things ought to be shunned. With some embarrassment, perhaps we admit we need the things of this world. Things necessary for our bodily life. The past Christians have very plainly spoken of that, that they believe the soul and the spirit, that's what is the real thing. The body, that's what is to be shunned. Not to even torture and make the body suffer. And that somehow will earn us some spiritual advantage. Though we don't go certainly that far, some of that thinking may yet be in our minds, and we ought to put it out as we consider this petition and as we raise this petition before God. Give us, we say, Jesus taught us to say, give us this day our daily bread. We need, Lord, the things of Thy creation, things to support our bodily life that matters to us, that matters to Thee, we confess in this prayer. But then not only do we confess that we are dependent upon the creation, in raising this prayer, we're also saying to God that we know He alone gives these things to us. We're not taking our requests for earthly things to the government or to some other place where we may gain these provisions, but we're taking this request to God. We're saying, Lord, Thou art able, Thou alone really, Thou alone art able. Thou dost use various means, yes, but Thou alone art the one who art able, willing to provide me for my earthly needs. The Catechism says, we pray this prayer that, or this petition, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. Psalm 62, verse 11 is what we're saying and what we're confessing when we make this petition before God. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. That's certainly part of what we're confessing when we say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We're saying, Lord, power to provide for us belongs unto Thee. We're saying, Lord, we know that this world is Thine. This world is Thy creation. Thou hast made it. It's the work of Thy fingertips. It's the work of Thy powerful voice. Thou hast called these things into existence. In the matter of 6 ordinary days, Thou hast made this whole world. Thou dost control it. Thou hast not given up this world to fortune or chance. Thou art not far away looking down upon a world which Thou hast simply set in motion, but Thou art here sovereignly every day controlling every aspect of Thy great world. Thou art powerful. Thou art able. Thou dost give to Thy people this creation, or our portion of this creation. That's what we mean when we use the phrase, that's what Jesus meant when He used the phrase daily bread. That phrase, daily bread, literally means apportioned amount. That's literally the idea, apportioned amount. We may think of it then of the amount as we need for one day. But really, we've already said that in the petition. It's not really literally give us this day our daily bread. That would be redundant. That would be repetitive, unnecessarily repetitive. Jesus says, pray this, give us this day. You're praying about this day for an apportioned amount. An apportioned amount that God decides. Not the amount that I think I need, the amount that I've decided I ought to have, but we're saying, Lord, Thou art the sovereign controller of this whole creation. It's all Thine. Thou hast determined to give unto each of Thy people a specific portion, different for each one of Thy people. Thou hast determined to give to me a specific portion of this world, of this creation. Let it be then, Lord, as Thou hast determined, and give to me in my need a portion that Thou hast appointed for me for this day. Provide for me my earthly needs. When we raise this petition, then we admit also our need of God's blessing upon our work. He said God uses means to provide for us according to our earthly needs. God uses means to give us that specific portion of this world, of this creation that He has determined we should have and He has determined that we need. But God uses the means of labor, of work, to provide us with that portion. Catechism speaks of our care and industry. Neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. Referring to our care and industry means our attention to the calling, the labors that God does put in front of us. We say, Lord, we need thy blessing upon our work so that our work can be profitable, so that our work, our labor can be profitable to thy glory, which is always a central goal that we have in all of our labors, in all of our earthly callings that we have. But Lord, also we pray that thou wilt make our work profitable for our provision. Use our labor, use our care, use our industry to give to us of this world that portion which thou hast eternally appointed should be ours. And we admit too that we need God's blessing on those gifts that He gives to us. Catechism indicates that as well. We may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. In order that our care and industry, in order that our work, in order that the gifts God gives to us through that work, in order that they may profit us, truly be profitable for us, we need the blessing of God upon them. We need God to give them to us in His grace. Understand that, children too, and young people. We need not only the things of this world, we need not only food, but we need with that food God's blessing, God's grace. Understand then what we've just said. We've said that the thing in itself, although the food in itself is good, the food in itself is not a mark of God's grace. It's not automatically given in grace to all men who receive these good things of the creation. That's a common view, a prevalent view, the view of common grace. That whenever God gives something good to someone, when He gives them something of this world, of this creation, He gives them a good gift, it comes automatically as a mark of His grace. Or He gives it to them, to put it another way, He gives it to them because of His grace toward them. That's a cruel view, isn't it, if we would adopt that? And only the few who have so very much are blessed richly by God. Whereas others who have very little, have so little blessing, at least earthly, grace and blessing from God. The reality is, beloved, God gives His grace only to His people. When He gives good gifts, good things of this world to the ungodly, to the reprobate, He gives those good things to them with His curse. They take those things, They use them unto their own damnation. They use those things to incur to themselves even greater guilt, which will make them even more liable for judgment and eternal punishment in the day of judgment. There's no grace in things in themselves. We need God's blessing upon those good gifts of this creation that He gives to us. And we can know of that blessing. And when we're praying, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're saying also, "Lord, make me aware that as Thou dost provide for me those things that I need, that those things come with that blessing. I need to know that. I need to be assured of that. And I can and I will know of that blessing of God when I know of the cross of Jesus Christ. Apart from the cross, beloved, all things of this world are nothing more than curse to us too. As fallen, depraved sinners, all we would ever do would take the things of this world, consume them upon our own lusts, build ourselves up in pride in having the things of this world, and we would be cursed and destroyed for taking God's things and abusing them in that way. But through the cross of Christ, through the work of Christ on that cross, absolving us of all our guilt, satisfying God's wrath and God's judgment against us, earning for us righteousness, in that work of Christ on the cross, He has taken this whole world, as it were, and changed it into blessing for His people. All the things of this creation are so many rich gifts of God given with His grace, His blessing to His people. Understand that, really, when the reprobate man takes the things of this world and he uses them to his own gratification and in his own pride, he takes the things that belong rightfully to us and uses them. And there, and for that comes the anger and wrath of God upon him. It's tied in with that promise that God has given to us that before long our Savior will come, the Savior who died and worked that mighty change for His people through His cross. That Savior will come and purge this world of all the ungodly who illegitimately use the things that belong to Him and His people. And He will recreate this world and place His people in this world that they may inherit the earth, the whole earth, as their own. And use it forevermore to the glory of God's name. Take then the good gifts that God gives to you in this world. Receive them with joy and delight and thanksgiving, as they really are good gifts. We ought not say, "I feel so guilty having so many things that God has given to me." We ought rather say, "I feel so thankful that God has chosen to give me these things of His world, of His creation, and not only the things, but more importantly, His blessing together with these things." How truly rich even the poorest child of God, from an earthly point of view, the poorest child of God, how spiritually, truly rich is even that poorest child of God. We raise this petition then trusting in God, dependent on Him, acknowledging our dependence upon this world and upon God to provide for us the needs that we have in this world, but also trusting in our Father and in His care for us. Verse 8 of Psalm 62 says this, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before Him." God is a refuge for us. Trust in Him at all times, pour out your heart before Him. There's a connection there. As we pour out our heart before God and open up to Him all of our needs and lay these things out before Him, as we do that, we also grow in trust. Trust in Him to provide for us our needs. Perhaps sometimes you find that in your own experience. As you forget or set aside this petition, and don't pray, "Lord, I'm dependent upon this Thy world. I'm dependent upon Thee. I'm dependent upon Thy grace and Thy blessing that accompanies these gifts. I need it all. I turn to Thee. Provide for me as Thou hast determined." As we do not pray that, we fail in trust. We start to worry and we start to wonder. Our care and industry becomes great, and our trust in God to provide for us through that care and industry becomes small. But as we pour out our hearts before Him, we also grow in trust. Trust, first of all, that He will provide for us. He will provide my daily portion. Trust that. We trust that that daily portion that God has determined is my daily portion. The amount that I will have this day, that amount is perfect. It's not randomly chosen. God does not randomly appoint how much any given individual child of His will receive. God has carefully laid out exactly how much each of us or how little each of us should receive from Him. And it's exactly perfect. It's exactly what we need in order to trust in that. We have to also set aside trusting in ourselves and in our own wisdom, don't we? Recognize that too. Really have to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, I have no clue what I need. Oh, I think I know. I have lots of ideas, but none of them amount to anything. It's all vanity. I don't know what I need. I can only see a tiny part of the picture. I don't know all of Thy plans and all of Thy purposes for me and Thy way of leading me through this life. I don't know even what comes tomorrow, let alone really make sense of what happened last week." From a spiritual point of view, from Thy point of view, "I don't know what I need, but Thou knowest. Thou knowest perfectly." And we say to Him, "I trust, Father, in Thy love for me, that Thou wilt give to me what I need. Thou wilt not give to me a snake or a scorpion or a stone instead of the bread or the other spiritual needs, the blessings too that I need. Thou wilt give perfectly." And we trust not only that God will provide and that God will provide my portion perfectly according to my need, but we also trust that God will bless us as He provides for us. It means we have assurance as we utter this prayer properly anyways. We have assurance with regard to Christ. Confidence in Jesus our Savior. confidence and full understanding of what He really accomplished upon the cross. We can spell that out too in our prayers before God. Lord, I know on the basis of Thy Word that Thou hast given to me all things in Jesus Christ. All things in this life, all things that I need. And the next, we'll wait to see when we get there, but all things are mine. Thou hast changed me through the cross of Jesus Christ. Thou hast adopted me. Thou hast made me Thy child. Thou hast become my Father. Though, of course, we know eternally God was such, but through the cross that legal foundation was laid so that God, Father, Thou couldst take me as Thy child and carry me close to Thy side and give to me exactly what I need. And that which I need is given to me. Thy loving blessing as a gift that works for my salvation, for my growth in trust and dependence on Thee, for relieving me of all worry, doubt, and anxious concern. Thou wilt bless. Thou wilt bless me with all these gifts through Jesus Christ, my Savior, whom Thou hast provided, that we confess. When we properly pray, give us this day our allotted portion, our daily bread. And part of that too is that we confess and we trust that this will profit us, this gift of God, this gift of the creation that God gives to us in His grace, it will profit. We trust in His wisdom then. We trust that God knows all things and that God not only is omniscient, but that God is all-powerful and is able and does daily control and move all things and all their interrelations to bring about His purpose, His perfect purpose with me and with all things. I trust, Lord, then we say, as Thou dost give to me my allotted portion, as Thou dost give it to me in Thy grace, I trust that it will profit, truly profit me to the glory of Thy name and to my growth as Thy child in the midst of this world, as an earthly creature, but also as I stand in relationship to Thee. In order to trust God in that way, then we must withdraw our trust from all creatures, the Catechism says. When we say then, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we're saying, Lord, I will withdraw my trust from all creatures. I turn to Thee to provide, not to the creature. In this, then, there is also a confession of our sin. A confession every one of us must make. Confession that, Lord, we do trust in the creature. We do take Thy good gifts, and we do so often look simply at the gift. We look at the thing, whatever it might be, a plate of steaming food or some other glittering treasure of this world, and I focus my eyes with myopic foolishness upon this little gift. I don't lift my eyes to Thee, and I don't say thanks. And I don't realize this thing that Thou hast given is simply to be used that I might serve Thee in the midst of this world with it. But I take this thing as if it's an end in itself and use it to serve myself and to satisfy me. Isn't that true? Don't we confess that? We need at least to confess that. Think about breakfast this morning or dinner last night or whatever we have bought most recently. Have we received it as given to us from God? As we should? Received it as a gift of His grace? As another evidence of His love and His favor, seen by faith as we believe we are in Christ? We confess, Lord, there is much earthliness in us yet. We can pray that as a body. We can pray that as individuals, Lord, there is much earthliness in myself yet. Much that trusts in this world and in my strength, my care, my industry, that loves and lusts and longs after the things here below without any reference to Thee. But Father, give me Thy grace. Grace, the knowledge that I am forgiven for this multitude of transgressions as well. Give me the knowledge that I'm forgiven, that Christ has taken this upon Himself as well and cleansed me of this sin too. And then, Father, also fill me with Thy Holy Spirit that I might truly more and more grow in withdrawing my trust from all the things of this world in order that I might place it alone in Thee. Help me, Lord, that I might look upon every area of my life and pull back and withdraw all the trust that I've scattered out over all the multitude of things around me, gather it all up and place all my trust by Thy grace in Thee alone. And say, whatever happens in my life, whether I have much, whether I have little, whether I increase quickly, whether I decrease suddenly, I trust in God. He's controlling it. He's decided it. This is my portion. It comes with His grace. It serves as real profit to me, His chosen child. We make this prayer with trust in Him. We make this prayer also with the wisdom that He gives to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Wisdom of contentment. Verse 10, it says, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Don't go about to accrue to yourself the things of this world through oppression, through robbery, sinfully. Don't lust and covet and reach out for that beyond what God has determined you must have today. And if riches increase, if God does load you up with wealth, don't set your heart upon that. The verse says, we pray too, Lord, then give me the wisdom to take, to handle, to use the things that Thou hast given me here in this world, to take it and use it all with contentment, not setting my heart upon riches, not leaving away of Thee as the focus of my love and my delight, and putting my heart upon the things of this world. Guard me from that evil that anyone can fall into, rich and poor. Guard me from it, Lord, we pray. Give me quietness, contentment, that I might be as that little child, very small child, that is nurtured in its mother's arms and given all that it needs, and rests peacefully, quietly, satisfied to be provided for by his mother, to be near his mother. May I be that way toward thee, my heavenly Father, as thou dost provide for me. And may I also then be diligent to work, not to gain my earthly portion through oppression or robbery, as verse 10 speaks of, but may I work, may I labor diligently, and may I recognize that all my care and industry and labor in this world is just a means through which thou dost provide. May I be also diligent to labor. Verse 12, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work, a broad and general principle there, having to do with the good works of the child of God and God's gracious reward, not a reward according to merit, but a reward according to grace, but speaks also of our earthly labor, and admits God rewards also according to our earthly labor, as we work, as we labor diligently, as we're called to by God. God will use that work. Whatever work He has given, and however that work pays, God will use that work which He has given to us and called us to provide for us exactly the portion that He's determined is ours. Trust in that. Labor diligently, but pray to God for the grace to handle well and to be thankful for the earthly things that He provides His people in grace. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, a Word which teaches us wisdom, a Word which teaches us trust in Thee, a Word which teaches us Thy glorious power as Creator, and Thy glorious provision as Father. Give us, Lord, this day and each day, according as Thou hast determined. Thou knowest what is best for us. Give to us then that portion which Thou hast determined, and work in us, Father, contentment and thankfulness to Thee, that we can receive these things as from the hand of our Father, given to us in Thy love and Thy grace through Jesus Christ, our Savior. In His name alone do we pray. Amen.